controls the spice controls the universe.
Welcome to the Warmaster Podcast, episode 113 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. Today's topic, or title, is called Warmaster in White Dwarf.
Yeah, it was Paul's idea. About time he came up with some fucking ideas.
Oh, okay. Easy.
Right. Oh, what the fuck was that? We're using a different mic, so you'll hear every fucking noise and scrape and everything.
Right, okay.
Sorry, I didn't even mean to come across Larry.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. It's good. It takes a bit of pressure off. This is what we should do.
Okay.
I've done the fucking legwork.
All right.
Here you go, Mr. Pittman.
Okay.
Crack on, sir.
All right, yeah.
Crack on.
Well, yeah.
And that led me to watch the football last night, which was very nice.
Okay.
And get really drunk.
Okay.
Which is really weird. Get drunk at home with the kids, but...
Were they still awake, or were they...
Oh, they couldn't sleep with me shouting.
Yeah. Oh, of course, it was Liverpool Bayern Munich, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fucking good.
Bayern Munich
don't lose many games at home.
Mm. Yeah, it was a big deal. And now, I know that.
Yeah, it was good. Mm-hmm. Right, so what are we up to first, Paulus?
Today's topic, main topic, will be Warmaster and White Dwarf, because I had an idea. It was like I thought...
As
oh,
you do.
I want, you know, because I'd gotten together all of the Warmaster magazines, and I was like, I wonder if someone had written up a list of the articles that were in White Dwarf about Warmaster. So era 2000, year 2000. And yes, of course they have. And
because that's the kind of loyalty this hobby demands. There are people out there with little treasuries, treasure troves of information and PDFs and
so,
pictures.
There's a spreadsheet that's linked into the files of Warmaster GW's Facebook group. Which has a spreadsheet of everything, basically. So it shows you all the it tells you what the articles were in all the Warmaster magazines. Then it go all 18 of all sorry all 21 of them that there was. Then it
there were 21 different issues.
21 different issues of Warmaster
in White Dwarf.
This is Warmaster magazine.
The thing you managed to pick up all the copies of.
Barring one or two hard to find ones, but all in good time. Then there was annual 2002 annual and 2003 annual, which just allocated articles basically. I don't think there was anything new in those annuals. They just collated articles. Also, White Dwarf is listed here. Originally, the first episode issue of White Dwarf was 242. Which was February of 2000, which was the first time that Warmaster was mentioned. And there was a number of prints of White Dwarf that had articles, and that's all they're listed here. And then after it then went away from White Dwarf, there was Fnatic, which was the collection of all the specialist games in article.
I remember that one.
There was 11 issues of that. And then went online only, and it went, then there's articles in online Fnatics, and they're all available, or the online ones are all available free online. And the Specialist Games Forum, there's a list of all of the articles that are in the online Fnatic.
Fantastic.
So
that's going to be the topic.
That's the main topic, yeah.
Mm. We're going to talk about the history of Warmaster in White Dwarf.
Yeah. Mm.
And
what have we been doing?
Well, today's the 14th, which is a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do this. This could be the last podcast before Brexit.
How do you know that?
Well, that's absolutely true, because there is only 15 days to Brexit. I know that because my daughter's going on a German exchange.
Will she come back?
Well, that's the thing, right?
Yeah,
she's now coming back on the 29th of March. It's all been juggled around, so she's back in the country before midnight on the 29th.
Right.
Of March.
Okay. Yeah.
Just in case. Just because you've got no idea, potentially. I mean, nothing. Yeah. It'll be like fucking, Millennium Bug.
Yeah.
Nothing will happen.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. At all. But everybody panics about fucking, planes flying into walls and the sea raising 12 feet and we're all drowning.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know we're near because she's going away soon and she comes back on Brexit Day.
Oh.
Before midnight.
Well, or is it Brexit Day?
Or is it? Who knows? Who cares?
Yeah.
It's like the world's biggest boil now. It's just, fuck's sake.
I mean, I'd say...
You shouldn't really talk about it, but there was literally nothing else happening in Britain now.
News-wise, no.
Anything-wise, apart from the football that I've been watching, the rest of society's just fucking imploding now.
Yeah.
There's nothing left.
I mean, in Tesco's today, I looked at the newspapers, and they are just... Every one of them's front page is Brexit, shame. You know, either one or two support May, but most are like just smashing it apart. Yeah, with headlines. Because it's such a scam. It's such a sham now, isn't it?
I don't know what it is anymore. It is what it is. Well, I just thought, you just got to get fucking through it.
It's like in no point in history has a Prime Minister not quit on these kind of circumstances. But she refuses to go. And
they can't get rid of her.
They can't get rid of her.
No, they can't.
Oh, well,
they've already tried.
Yeah, they already tried that.
And failed in December. So they can't get rid of her.
Yeah.
The only way they can get rid of her now is to call an election, which will cost most of them their jobs. It's like,
Yes.
So they're all going to vote for that. Anyway, so fuck, this could be the last one before Brexit. So we might be off the airways due to Brexit.
What?
No, who knows?
Who
knows? Nobody can tell me either way. Yeah. I've asked, will Brexit affect my podcast? Nobody can tell me. Nobody can tell me. Anyway, so no more fucking Brexit talk.
Yeah. I'm a Bob. I'm bored of it. Bored of Brexit.
You don't get to... what does that mean?
I mean,
you get it rammed down your throat 24 hours
a day. I have wanted to watch the votes, as in terms of the results of the votes. I've been interested in that. The second vote for their deal, which got smashed, that was interesting. The one last night about leaving with no deal, which really doesn't mean anything. As in the MPs don't want to leave with a no deal. But I don't think we get to choose that, do we? We either accept the EU's deal or we don't. Yeah.
Well, we're already leaving without a deal.
Yeah.
that's the law.
Mm.
So the meaningful vote last night was meaningful because we're already going to leave.
Yeah, it didn't like...
And we're not changing the law.
Yeah,
Anyway, fuck it.
Yeah.
Forget about it. Just don't come here. Wherever you are in the world, you're in a better position than we are. Unless you're in North Korea, I guess. North Korea, South Korea, that's pretty
fun. Have you seen how they're voting in North Korea?
The people.
Everyone above 17 and up, has to vote.
Stone, 17 stone.
No.
It's not based on weight. No. Okay.
So
weight
they must vote.
Must vote.
And when you go to the polling station, you're given who you're voting for.
Why? You're
given a card saying who you're voting for.
Good.
And then you file down and you put that in the ballot box.
Yep.
And then you go away.
All very democratic.
Yeah, so...
All very fair.
It's
you can come and come and watch.
You, and if you... you're given... That's all done publicly.
Yes.
They set up private voting stations. But if you use a private voting one, that's considered dissent and you're probably going to get interviewed or thrown in prison. Right. If you use a private voting booth. Not that you can choose who you're voting for.
Well, you can if you use a private one, can't you?
Maybe.
So that's bad. Those scallywags wanting to vote for the people they want to vote for.
You know their voter turnout was 99.7%.
I wonder how that is.
99.7%.
And where are the other 0.3?
Dead. Okay.
Fled to South Korea. Shit. Anyway, right, so it's been a couple of weeks.
Yes.
I'm sure Paul's world's been very voted for. For a start, you've had a kid.
Yes. We had about... 9 days ago.
The royal son. Week, obviously.
Yeah. And everything's gone fantastically.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Decided on a name?
We have. I said to Hannah, like, because we didn't have a name going into...
And Joffrey was out of the question.
Joffrey was out, And I said that, why don't we have a name for a couple of days? Try it out. Yeah, like, there's no... I mean, you've got 6 weeks to put in a birth register, and it is the rest of his life. But Hannah can't handle that. So she forced a decision on me. And we've gone with Arthur, which...
I thought that was your choice.
Yeah, I mean, well, her top choice was James, but...
There's a few of them around.
But, and also, I remember there was a guy in my primary school, and this guy, obviously a long time ago, I still remember his name, was it James? I did not like him. So some names you get tarred by somebody you don't like.
That's true. That can happen. But then all you need to do is find a different one and then it kind of cleanses it. And there's enough Jameses in the club. Like James Bond. Because I just thought of James Bond.
Yeah. Well, you see, there we go. So at the moment, James Brown. At the moment he's called Arthur. who was King of the Britons. Obviously, that's a good stock name. But we'll see. I mean,
so he's not called Arthur.
He is called, well, but he's not. Not, he's not called anything until it's on.
Oh,
the first
shit! Record. I thought you announced it. It's
well, yeah, yeah.
Well,
that's
Arthur, Arthur Frederick or something.
Yeah, yeah. So my middle name. So Hannah kind of forced the decision on me to make a decision. You know, a joint decision, well, in brackets. But it's not, until it's on the birth certificate, it's not official, is it?
I love it. So you're in still intense negotiation. It's like you've got your own little mini Brexit going on.
It's just Arthur, like, I like it, but it's not a young person's name, is it? Arthur. You don't think...
Well, you're not always a young person.
Yeah, I know. Is that like, but it's like...
But
it's,
on the flip side, you're the one that's going to be shouting it. In the playground.
Yeah.
Arthur. Mm-hmm. Arthur. So what me and my wife did, we just had a veto. So I said, yeah, I had a veto on the boys' names. She had a veto on the girls' names because obviously, kind of boys' names mean different things to boys. I mean, what's his shortened version of Arthur? Artie.
Well,
Art.
yeah, and that's probably what we're going to call him most
Art.
Of the time. Art. Yeah.
Art.
Art or Artie.
Okay.
Which fits Hannah very nicely because she's an art teacher.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm.
Very nice.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean. I've never really known an Arthur, and I do like the fact that it was there's a kingly name, you know, like the king was called the Arthur, you know.
I didn't vote for him.
Yeah, exactly. but I mean,
I love that lovely bit, Maddie.
Basically, I would have wanted a name beginning with P, but I couldn't think of anything.
Percival.
No.
Percy.
I really liked Pippin. But that's not... That's
Pippin,
not a, apparently, that's not a person's
it's
name.
It's not a human name.
Yeah,
that's
a
dog
name,
fella.
Dog
Pippin. I'm 100% with Hannah here. Fucking Pippin.
Pippin.
It's a hobbit name, sir.
Exactly, that's why I liked it.
Well, yeah, he won't be a hobbit for very long.
No, that's the opposite of the problem with Arthur, isn't it? He's not going to be a hobbit for long. But, yeah, I think it's going to stay with Arthur. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but yeah, so
King Arthur, obviously.
King Arthur, yes. Artur, I might call him. it all went really well. So thank you, anyone. I can hear the well wishing already, like verbally, you know, or thought out. But thank you very much. We had a remarkably easy labour. It was 20 minutes it lasted. Like when we got into the hospital.
That's what you want.
It seems my wife is built to have kids.
May you have many more.
Well, I don't think that's on the cards. At the moment, definitely not. Yeah.
Right, so what have you been doing in wargaming world?
So,
you've still got to get some fucking... got to get some games in.
Well, that's... The thing is, that's... See, it's... A lot of this is like... So I've been moving back into my cave and realising, like, right... What do I want around me all the time, and what can stay up in the loft? Like what? It's
what brings you joy in the Codmire sense.
Not giant, but like is in terms of like right, okay. What needs to be around and what doesn't need to be around? What can and I realised like right, I need a table, I need to paint, so I need stuff that's out. Because if you because taking stuff in and out all the time is hard, you know, is not good.
So you're I need a
I need a permanent setup, and it's next to the window. That's perfect. Then I was like, what else do I need to have down here? Well, obviously my books because, yeah, but I was like, right, gaming manuals, you know, like they need to be down here because you need them far more often than you do scenery for a game. Scenery for a game can be up in the loft.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like, but like the rule book on something, I need to have that around. So that needs to be there. And then aside from that, there wasn't a lot else that had to be done. Oh yeah, trophies. All the trophies I've won. Well, what's the point in having trophies unless...
Well, that's why I don't have
unless
them.
Display them.
That's why when we won a joint one, I gave it to you.
Well, that's the thing. I like to display them. Well, but if that... So I'm just trying to find where I can display them. Otherwise, I guess, what's the point of them? And I don't want to throw them away because they do mean something to me. And then finally, it's a bit of shelf space. So I need to find a carpenter, employ one to do some nice shelving for me. And obviously, it won't have... everything that was on shelves like it was before, but it's going to be War Master that's going to be on shelves because that looks nice on shelves and that's the main system I play. Like I would, or more accurately, I would play if I could get enough games, enough opponents of it. Yeah.
Good. Cool.
So, but I have been painting a lot. I've been quite well organised and I've got quite a good gaming diary lined up now for like playing people against. So I've painted my Lannisters for Game of Thrones. They're like totally done. I've got my next on Wednesday. I'm playing Rid another game of Thrones. We've had one game.
Yeah.
His Bolton heavy cavalry smashed me. You know, like basically his Boltons were an army of essentially light infantry, but this one unit of very heavy cavalry ran straight over me. You know, and I had the right tool for the job. I had halberdiers, who if they get activated, can do an order where they close ranks and they're particularly good against but cavalry.
Spiky.
But did I do it?
No.
No. Like,
it's too late. I made
a mistake. Like, I was like, oops, I should have done that, and I didn't. And now I'm getting rammed. Yeah, but yeah, so... But it was a good game. It was cool. In fact, it played better than I thought it might play. Played Dave last night at Batman. I used my Riddler crew against his Joker crew.
Ooh.
And yeah, it was good. I mean, it's a good game, Batman. Like, it was,
I ain't never going to play it.
No, but it was...
I don't like the universe.
No, fair enough. You got it. Yeah. I mean, I'll admit, like, I only tried it in the first place because of Eric.
Yeah.
You know, but given its due, it's a very good like tactical skirmish game. You know, all about, you know, and the way the crews play is very good. Like, my guys are, I redid the list of Riddler, so it's just like I'm going to farm as many riddles as I can.
I'm not just what you're doing. I'm just
I don't have to hurt you.
No, I'm doing a Sudoku. He's doing a crossword. Yeah, exactly. He's doing a word search.
Exactly.
We'll be done in 10 minutes, mate.
Yeah. Basically, and that's what my game
tried. Hey, stop shooting me! I'm trying to do this.
Yeah, riddle. Literally, like, my guys won't attack you over solving riddles. They'd rather spend their activations solving the riddles and not fighting back. So,
yeah, but fighting without fighting.
Yeah,
very Bruce Lee.
Yeah. But Dave won with his Joker, but it was close.
But I'm glad he won actually doing something rather than just...
Yeah.
They call that gold fishing in Magic, where you just don't give a shit what anybody else is doing. I'm just sitting here doing my shit. I'm not interacting. You do your shit, I'll do my shit.
Totally. And we've panned a date for a rematch where I use Bane. I'm playing Rodders at Warmaster for a practice game for the Tri-Wiz on the 27th.
That's coming up soon, fella.
Yep. So I'm busy my next project. So what this has done is I'm now painting stuff to the game, projects to the game.
Right.
So I've gone with the Orcs and Goblins combo I was talking about.
For like ultra cheap leadership packages, yeah?
It's a big army.
I'm fucking sure it is.
Yeah. And my order from Polar Fox is on its way. But I got to shout out to Christopher Orr. Check out this for what a nice guy this guy is. So last podcast I said I'm doing orcs and goblins.
Orcs and goblins, goblins, yeah.
So he messaged me saying Polar Fox order could take a while to get to you. I've got Polar Fox stuff. Do you want me to send it to you and replace it back like for like? I was like, well, yeah, sure. So I've already started. I can already start working on that stuff because Christopher Orr sent me his own stuff.
Wow.
I know. It's like. Thank you very much.
It does take a while to get from Siberia.
It does,
sure.
Yeah. Like, I mean, sure. And that was the danger, because that is obviously if it didn't get here in time or something, then I might have to do something else because I haven't managed to get it painted. But I have 9 units of a goblin army to do, but some of the units are like spear chuckers, yeah, or doom dog. They're not big. Or
proxy and greenlings for them or something.
No. With Christopher's help, I'll get it done now. But that's the next project. So I have a practice game before the tournament and then the tournament, and then on the 3rd of April I've got a game of Rodders against my first game of Adeptus Titanicus.
Alright,
yeah, it's quite cool. Then the week after I'm playing Lord of the Rings. You've got to use Evil Army, your Lord of the Rings, and then I've got a week at work, you know, on a Wednesday, and then the following week I've got a rematch of Dave's Batman. I'll use Bane that time. Mm-hmm.
Bane.
Yeah, so being very organised.
Okay, sounds very cool. Very cool.
But I haven't done enough of the goblins yet to bring it on to show you like what it's done. So yeah, that's all the stuff I've got to talk about here. So that week in Warmaster is that one. Oh yeah, didn't include that one, did you? Right. Oh yeah. So other things I just wanted to talk about. Did you see? Or do you talk what you've been up to, and then these are okay. Topic points? Yeah, go on. What have you been up to?
I've been up to fuck all as normal. Fuck all. Running a Kickstarter.
Yes.
Talking about a Kickstarter that comes later.
That comes later.
What I've been doing in non. Did I play a game? Did Did I play a game at the club? I can't remember what I played. Lord of the Rings, I played that. That was alright.
How'd that go? Oh, that was against Phil, wasn't it?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, but like, I'm a little bit worried about the game system.
Go on.
In that, if you don't have the right tools, some stuff is really fucking hard to put down. Like, really hard. So, like, I played against a troll chieftain hero.
Yeah.
And, like, trolls are normally pretty hard to put down.
Yeah, they're monsters. Yeah.
But you can beat them on fight. Yeah. And if you can beat them on fight, you can beat them.
Yeah, because the game is about fight values. Yeah.
So, and then you can kind of surround them. You can
gang up on them and hit them.
And eventually you'll roll enough sixes, yes, and maybe sixes and then fours and stuff to eventually take the fucking thing down. But this bastard has might. Like, proper amounts. I think he's got 3 might.
Yeah.
So, and fight 7.
So he's better fight value than you.
Yeah. Better fight value than all of my dwarves. And he's got might.
Yeah, so if he gets a... You're not going to win in... If he can almost force a win, can't he?
So if he rolls a 6, he wins. If he rolls a 5, he moves into a 6, he wins. If he draws you at any point, so you roll a 4, he rolls a 4, he wins.
Yeah.
And the fucking thing just rends you.
Yeah.
Like, so he's not fighting against your defence.
Yeah.
He's fighting against your toughness, I think.
Strength, isn't it?
Yeah, strength versus toughness. So basically, he rendered my entire character switch. He rendered what was it? Who was it? Durin. Rendered him.
Rip him
Marin rendered him. Fucking Dwarf King rendered him.
So what are you supposed to do against him then? What
we beat him on fight.
Right. So you can't shoot him down or.
No, have
you
ever. He's got fucking defense like 7.
So what tool do you need for it then?
I don't know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because very few armies have access to this troll hero.
Yeah, true.
I think Mordor's the only one, and then he was using Mordor with some Easter
eggs. Is there any dwarf in your list who can get up to fight 7?
No.
Even heroically.
Oh, maybe with some. Because you can boost it with might, can't you?
Yeah, which is an ability some characters have.
Well, that's what I'm going to have to look at now, because. Mm-hmm. The list I had, I didn't seem to have access to a tool to beat this.
Oh, okay.
And although I won the game,
That
was because Phil misplayed the game a little bit.
Yeah.
And if you'd have played the game a bit better,
I
had no way of dealing with this bastard. It's good that games have got little things like Chinese finger puzzles. We've got to work out how to do this.
Yeah.
But as long as there is a way to do it,
Otherwise
it can get really fucking annoying.
Yeah.
If suddenly everybody's taking, like, why would I take anything other than these troll heroes? They're not even that expensive. I think it was like 130 points.
Well, there isn't list building restrictions in Lord of the Rings. You don't like have to have something or something.
No.
You can have an army of heroes if you wanted.
We could. Or I could have I could have 3 or 4 of those fuckers and just a load of grunts backing them up.
Well, I have
someone gets surrounded.
So we'll carry on because I've got a Lord of the Rings thing to talk about.
I ain't got fuck all else to talk about. So and then I've been playing a game online of Mordheim on the Xbox.
Yep.
So there was a deal over the weekend, 75% off, £40 game, pennies. A tenner, with all the DLC.
Yeah,
I don't remember the game being a D100 based game system.
It's not. It wasn't. It wasn't.
Or any of the reboots, because there isn't any proper reboot, has there?
No.
You played some game on the PS4, weren't you? What the fuck was that? Warpstone-y game.
Oh yeah, Vermintide.
But
that's a first person smasher. Oh, right, that's just killing waves of Skaven. Mordheim never got rebooted, though it's about GW are about to do, and they are kicking it out of the park.
Yeah, but it's not the right.
But it's
the Age of Sigmar.
Yeah, no, but it's as close as they've done come to it again is a game called Warcry, which is very new, is coming out this year, which is Age of Sigmar Chaos Warband skirmish game.
Yeah. So. This game is as hard as fucking nails. You know, like, there was that game you went for War Machine Tactics or something?
Yeah.
So, like, an actual representation of the game.
Yeah.
On the computer. Against computer AI.
Mm-hmm.
They've done that for Mordheim.
Yeah.
In this game.
Yeah.
But it's as hard as fucking nails. Even the tutorials are hard. My first warband, and I know what to do, you know.
So, what warband do you choose?
Oh, Empire. Because I want to learn the game.
Well, which type of Empire?
They only get one type.
Oh, is there only one? Okay.
The 6 warbands in total with the extra DLC, there's like Skaven and Ungerd.
Yeah.
You can see Skaven.
Yeah, I see Skaven.
But my first warband got fucked over straight away.
Oh, right, okay.
My leader got like written and said, well, there's no point playing on.
Yeah.
Because I just reboot next new war. And then you've got to mob handed all the time. You've got to let them come to you and fucking ambush them and just like 4-on-1 and stomp them down and then move on to the next. It's good. It's hard. That's what you want. I don't like easy computer games.
No, I never see the point to an easy computer game. Because few computer games have real replayable value, and if so, you might as well make it difficult and get the most enjoyment out of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Although I don't remember the gold being this, because I'm running out of gold already. I've only like 4 or 5 days in.
Oh, right.
I don't remember it being this expensive to kind of just. Maybe it always was, and I just don't remember. Mm-hmm. I want to play again, but I don't want to play the old game because I think it's probably a bit long in the tooth.
Now. Yeah, it is. I mean, it would be. Yeah. Like, in fact, part of the main topic there, like wartime is in its prime in these White Dwarfs, and it's interesting looking back.
Right. Okay, cool. So yeah, I've been doing that. That's about it.
So a couple of things I just want to mention before we go into the main topic is on Twitch, which is the online, online gaming, mostly for computer games.
Yeah, I watch Twitch every weekend.
Oh, okay, cool. On Twitch, they had a Lord of the Rings Gret GT at Warmer World.
Right.
So there's for the Rings game system, there's the GT where you take two armies, good and evil, and you have to play as always good as evil. That's brilliant. It's far more appealing to me. There's also Throne of Skulls ones, which is you just bring a force, and it could be good on good or evil versus evil.
Right.
But okay, so not so much interested. But what was interesting is the way they covered this on the way GW Warmer TV covered this on Twitch. It was like it's like watching a sport, but the sport is a war game. Right. The way they set it up, like commentary and panels, like overlay of giving you information. Like, I sent you a picture.
It's expensive.
Yes, I mean, I sent you a picture. And I was like, that is, obviously the production costs are far too much for us, but that would be the best way to do a battle report, a YouTube battle report. Was that style there? Of they have one camera showing the table, one camera on the dice tray, another camera showing close up. So basically, there's two things to look at.
Okay. Three cameras, really.
So a big picture, little picture, and dice tray. Okay. You know, like, and the little picture is normally a focus on something, and they'll switch it back and forth if it's like, to look at some jewel. Like,
so you could have two close up cameras working.
Well, there's one the table, and there's one which is the focus of the moment.
Yeah, but if they're switching them, they must have more than one.
Yes.
They must have a minimum four cameras running.
Yeah, exactly. And they've got two people doing the commentary, and they also have overlays of important information. So in Lord of the Rings, they have the model count, where the breakpoint is, how many casualties they've lost each. Where, you know, for each scenario, like the scoring system of that scenario is to.
So there's somebody running that as well.
Well, the interview, the people doing the commentary are doing that
as well.
Yeah.
So they're updating the overlay as well as they go.
Yeah. And I was just like, this is really cool. This is well done, basically.
Sounds well done.
And I quite like what the Lord of the Rings game is. And seeing that event, and obviously it's sold out. Like, so this is how good the game system's going. Apparently, like, you could buy tickets for the last time, this a year ago, literally the day before, you could buy tickets.
I'm sure it never sold out.
Yeah. This one, with a new edition, sold out in 12 hours. You know, so that's a success, isn't it? And I'm sure the bean counters would notice that. And but what was I really liked was the commentary about players there and like the things they brought. In Rings, you're encouraged to bring theme armies, and theme armies are the most competitive ones as well. So I like that as a, you know,
to a degree, I like theme armies.
Yeah,
as long as there's some element of balance.
Course, yeah, and. You know, at the moment, because it's a very new meta in this new edition of this game system, which has had new things put into it, the meta hasn't settled yet. So there's like, I don't know the top of it, but like there were some new players who were doing very well,
right.
Like who had never played the game system 6 months ago.
Because moving in competitive gaming.
And I was just really impressed by it, It's as a game system, it looks far more appealing in that way to me than 40k or Age of Sigmar. So yeah, skip 40 years time, I'd quite like to attend that GT because that does sound really good. Yeah, I mean, and ultimately, what I'm saying is ultimately, if I could have any wishes, that is what I'd want for Warmaster. Not that it's ever going to be that way, but that is how I'd want it presented. I was just, what am I saying? Basically, I was just impressed by the production of it. But the to be a subscriber on Twitch is £5 a month, and you don't, I don't think you need to do that. Anyone can watch it free live when it's on, and you can be notified, you can have an account and be notified. But to get to watch the back catalogue of when you want, you have to subscribe. And a £5 a month seem a bit too much for that, I thought. Similar, another point I pointed out, Priority Press with their the way the companies with their recasting issues is interesting. Like, because we've talked about it on Warmaster, like, which is a dead game system, but like of the dangers of a live game system with its issues. A market abroad is undercutting the cost of such models by so much.
Oh yeah, I think we need to save that one for another discussion, because that's a big topic.
That's a big
recasting
topic. Yeah,
because it comes up all the time.
Yeah, yeah, but it's just like a good thing, as in the way, just to pen that then. But it's just like Warmaster is not touched by the company that made it. But Privacy Press is trying to exist on a game, its game system, War Machine and Hordes, and that is being hit hard by.
You're not talking about some fucker in his garage.
You're talking
about like a factory industry in China.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a factory that's fucking spunking stuff out quicker than probably Private Press are making it. Probably making it quicker than Private Press.
But it's a pretty amazing when you see the equivalent prices of what this thing costs genuine and what a recaster is selling it at. So that's, it was just quite interesting. But anyway, we'll pen that for another talk, some other time.
Well, it scares the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Because people talk about 3D printing. Nobody's going to 3D print these giant models when you can buy them for $25 posted or whatever it is China. Forget about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's a good topic for another day, that one. That's too big we're already half an hour in.
Attention. If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today. Soft foam, hard cases.
Basically, I quite like to read these articles from White Dwarf. And I went on eBay, I do believe in a bit of fate. Basically, the first run of Warmaster articles in White Dwarf was from issue 242 through to 247.
Okay.
So it was 6 issues had Warmaster articles in it. Not extensive. They weren't like half the magazine was given to it, but that was what was getting Warmaster articles. These were done as a standard, one a month. White Dwarfs.
Right.
Then there was a break of over a year before the next Warmaster article. Then there was a short run, 258 had one, 260, 270, so 10 months difference there.
Right.
272, and then up in the 290s had a few. So there was basically Warmaster had gaps in White Dwarf of publication. And I thought I'd quite like to read the first run, just to see what they were like. I went on eBay, and literally someone was selling that package of White Dwarves for a tenner. Like, the right article, the right ones.
That package?
That package,
exactly, without any extras?
No. 242 to 247.
Was he a Warmaster player or
something? I don't know, but I was just like...
He must have bought for that reason at some point.
Maybe, but I was like, that's revenge. So I bought them.
That is fake.
I bought them, and here I am. And that's what led me on to want to talk about it on the podcast. Because I was going to get one, but, there we go. So what we have here is this episode is going to be about issues 242 to 247, just talking about those articles in White Dwarf and like how they've aged or what we think of them, and just like how they could be done better in 2019, 20 years later, effectively. And then another podcast could be talk about the other ones, so collecting all the other White Dwarfs that were spaced out a couple of years and talking about those articles. And then the third one, we talk about Fanatic Online, which had loads more articles on White Dwarf, which I've got all on the computer here. And I've also got a Battle of the Five Armies ones to give you.
Really?
To pass you over as a file.
That's something we've got to do with some, but I've got 2 boxes of that.
Literally, one of these articles then is about combining 2 sets of Battle of the Five Armies.
I've got 2 sets.
But the article is how to use 2 sets.
Because you get a massive bill, don't you?
Yeah, and that's how to play it. Oh. Like how to use it. So, The way to do it, Barry, is to book a date from down the club to do it. Book a date. Yeah. Okay, so let's go to the main topic. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to talk through these white dwarfs, and just like the articles that were in there, and just like what we thought of it.
Well, I haven't fucking read them. So.
Yeah, but
we're relying on you, fella.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I'll explain what they are.
Okay.
So in February 2000, White Dwarf 242, which was really funky coloured Castan Jungle Fighters one, was the first time War Master was mentioned, and it was in like spoiler for the new game system that is going to come out next month, which is War Master, and that is literally it. That's all that this White Dwarf got as an article of War Master was just like the feature of the future game, and the date of and when you could pre-order it, etc. But this is, well, there was obviously internet, but it was like a lot. Mail order was a lot bigger deal than it was.
Oh, it was the only way to get shit, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. And there we go. So the first real one. Yeah, so that was the first one.
So what did they have in there? Nothing.
It was a teaser advert of War Master, of like the future game that the game we're bringing out next month is this, and it just doesn't give you much more information apart from...
Doesn't show you a miniature or anything?
Yeah, does it?
Oh, that's something like, yeah, come on. Little battle commence.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't seen these. So Paul's showing it. Oh, yeah, it looks very good. We've got...
Next on the back, it shows next issue, like back page.
Okay, we will have a look. So we got here, we got the old High Elves.
Yep.
Everybody loves the fucking High Elves.
High Elves and Undead were the two armies that came out with the game.
Yeah, very classic looking High Elves.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have chosen High Elves and Undead personally. But that's what they had. But as in,
people love high elves, man.
Then high elves and orcs and goblins I've chosen. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, it looks like it. On the back you've got, who's this fella here? So is he an eagle, isn't he?
Yeah, they're just a cat, yeah.
And you've got some more down.
It shows they had obviously developed the armies, but how they were going to drip feed them out as releases. So there's some Empire pictures there. And they weren't an army that was available on its release.
So yeah, they're kind of they're your fanatics, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And some shoeless halberdiers behind.
Mm-hmm. So the next month, this is March 2000, White Dwarf 243. You could say that was the War Master magazine, War Master White Dwarf, because it has the picture of the game as the front cover.
War on a new scale.
And that had four articles in it. Article called Something Completely Different, which is talking about what War Master is. We Are Legion, which is Undead Tactics. Reaching First Base, How to Base Your Figures. And Heroes of Ulthuan, High Elves Tactics, essentially. So there are two tacticals about the two armies that were out. Right. How to base them, obviously. An instructional article about how to base your army, because it's War Master. What is War Master?
Yeah.
And obviously an article explaining what the hell is War Master in the first place. So the first one, with a lovely page. Oh, in fact, you might have to take that page, for something. Lovely bit of art there in the game. It's Something Completely Different by Rick Priestley. So the design of the game. And this one's quite good because it talks about, it's a four-page article of what War Master is from the man who created it, what his intentions are to be. And a lot of it rings really good, which we've said the same thing,
right,
online on podcasts. How we take the game and what it's intended to be. So like at the heart of it, the big idea is great big battles underlined. Conventional Warhammer and Warhammer 40,000, a game is about 30 mils high. The size of the models, this is Rick Priestley's words, places a natural restriction on the type of an encounter that can be fought on the tabletop, especially true in the fantasy game, where a typical regiment of troops occupies a relatively large space of the gaming area, and models start the game virtually in spitting distance of each other.
Yeah.
As a result, big Warhammer games rarely have a sense of ground maneuver. War Master is very different.
It is.
It explains about like size matters, like conventional Empire troops to a standard Empire. And that's a really nice four-page read of how basically that is how you would give what is War Master to somebody. Those four pages explain it.
Okay.
Yeah, obviously it's assumed that you know what war game is.
And the only way you can get to read this lovely stuff is to get the White Horses. It's not, there's no You didn't find anyone online.
Oh, maybe they are.
I didn't do the research.
I did not find it. No, I didn't look.
Okay.
Okay, so also in that article there's We Are Legion, the Undead Legions in Warmaster. So Undead were one of the two armies that came out, and it just basically it's a very simple like description of what every unit is in the Undead list, and you know, some tips about how to play them. Oh look, Rick Priestley says Raise Dead is a very good spell.
Yeah, does he really?
Yeah. So skeletons aren't great troops and have relatively low points value, but you need a lot of them. A couple of extra units will prove handy when you cast the Raise Dead spell, and you will.
And you will. Like a couple of extra units. Four.
Yeah. Actually, the difference between the undead and mortal armies is considerable. Undead armies need to be given orders to do everything. Actually, I suppose that makes them a good choice for a starting army, because they don't have initiative. They play very differently. Reaching first base was how to base your models in Warmaster, and like how basically what long and short, what units should be long and short. Then heroes of Ulfwan, again the same rundown of what for the high elves or who they are. You know, like if you didn't know, but like what units have made it onto the Warmaster world. Yeah, because not obviously not everyone does.
Yeah.
And then Ancient Glory and their first battle report of Warmaster on page 111.
Yeah.
On the scenery table is the only table they actually made, I think, specifically for Warmaster. Do you recognise that table from the rulebook? Nigel Stillerman's table creation is it's a bespoke modular 6x4. 10mm scale table.
Hinges or something.
Yeah. It looks almost like it's should be in Ancients. Yeah, as a style of table. Yeah, like it doesn't look very fantasy at all, really.
I would say is there's not a lot of scenery on that.
No, there's not. There's not a lot of scenery. not a lot of scenery at all.
There's a big-ish hill. There's a couple of big-ish hills and three woods.
Yeah.
That's about it. Mm-hmm. Just some hills and woods.
And so then the two armies that are featured here. So in this battle report, it's Rick Priestley running High Elves.
Great.
Versus Alessio Carvotti. Yeah, is that someone you heard of before? Alessio?
Yeah, he did Kings of War.
Of course, I'm just joking. Of course you know.
River Horse or whatever.
And he's using the undead. And to be honest, both builds are pretty poor. Yeah, like of High Elves. So I'll read you out Rick's High Elf build.
How many points?
2,000.
Okay. Yeah, but he's going to have all kinds of shit in there. He's like you. He's going to have dragon riders, all kinds of
shit.
If you
think about it, now, they've got to show off what the army is.
And they've got to try to sell the dragon rider.
Yeah. So here we go. High Elf General on a chariot.
Why not?
Yeah, two heroes. A wizard with a ring of magic.
Yep.
So that's four heroes in a... They're four characters in a High Elf list.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Two silver helms, one with a sword of might. A unit of Reavers, a unit of Chariots, one with a battle banner, 50-point magic item battle banner. Spearmen, one of them with a banner of fortitude, another 50 points.
They're probably showing you how to turn your little box into a full army. Yeah.
Four archers, one great eagle, one dragon rider.
Of course he has. 300
and
points.
And one bolt throw unit. So my question here is like, okay, you've taken, it's a 2,000 point list, and you've taken one unit of artillery, not two.
Well, how many, what's his break? Like six or something?
They didn't list break as they were, but it's break eight. Okay. I counted it up.
Right, fair enough.
So, it's like, and you've taken a Dragon Rider unit, which
it looks good, man.
Looks good, but he says here, like, to bolster the aggressive element of the army, I added a Dragon Rider. This is a troop type unique to the High Elves, and so one I thought was well worth including in the battle.
I agree, Rick.
This absorbs a lot of my points, but with six attacks and six hits, as well as the ability to breathe fire and fly, the 350 points asking price doesn't seem unreasonable.
Shut up.
It's like, I mean, admittedly, this isn't Revolution, this is Warmaster Original.
Yeah, and they brought it down anyway.
Yeah.
They brought it down for the 350, because even at 300 it's too much. But 350, holy moly.
Yeah. So Alessio takes the undead. And again, it's like, it's not a good build. So he takes the Tomb King, puts him on a chariot, gives him the Orb of Majesty, takes a Leech Priest on a zombie dragon with a Scroll of Dispelling, then three other Leech Priests, that's pretty standard, yeah. That's what you see.
Yeah, it falls. Yeah, it
two units of skeleton cavalry.
Yeah, they're all right.
2 units of chariots, one with a banner of shielding.
I love these
so
banners.
So a 5+ armour save to a 4+.
For 50 points?
For 50 points.
Until you lose a stand.
Until you lose a stand of chariots, because you will. Yeah, that's 6 hits. Yeah, like there are 3 hits. Yeah. Then 4 units of skeletons, 4 units of bowmen, 2 units of carrion, a bone giant, a sphinx, 2 skull chuckers, and 2 bone throwers. Again, well, actually, it goes 2,005 points. Don't worry about like keeping under points limits these days. Yeah, like he went a little over.
And again, I think there was a gentleman's agreement. Yeah. 5% here or there. Yeah.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Breakpoint 10. Yeah. Again, it's like, okay, so you've. It's an undead army where you've gone for the artillery brigade, but then there's some really bad choices. Like, the Orb of Majesty, don't really rate that. You know, the banner of shielding on a chariot unit, that's poor choice. Like, why would you choose this?
Yeah, but they're not choosing it to win tournament games. Yeah,
no, like, and it's like the bone giant, they ain't good. The Sphinx I've got space a time for, but he's not got enough troops. Like, yeah, he's just his undead army is not big.
It's not big enough.
No, it's not big enough. He's only taken 2 units of chariots. Like, it's not big enough. Where's it, who's gonna do any fighting? Anyway,
her lovers, not fighters.
Yeah. Anyway, the battle report looks a lot, as in the pictures of it. They did. I think, to be honest, they spent more effort in battle reports back then. Like the way battle reports are done now.
Well, apart from the Twitch battle report you just showed me.
No. In White Dwarf.
Okay, I don't read White Dwarf.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in battle reports in White Dwarf, this looks better. Yeah, you know, personally, like just the graphics, they like. More labels.
Well, here I couldn't predict who's going to win because there was that old story of like whichever new codex won, didn't it?
Mm. Well, it's a brand new game.
Brand new game, so you don't have. Oh, am I releasing the Nurgle? Oh, they won the battle report. They fucking crushed it.
So the story of the battle report is Rick has a lovely, as obviously a high elf first turn where everything gets going. Alessio has an undead turn where he passes one order. Yeah. Sorry.
Paused. I bring out your dead.
So it does kind of show the staticness of Warmaster set, sadly can be, when you haven't got any half-based moves. Also, some of the formations of the way the units are set up, it's really bad. Like, Alessio sets up his cavalry in column on its own.
Right.
Why? Like, why is it in column? Like, it doesn't. That's not how cavalry's set up.
I should have set up in column.
Yeah, but there's no point to it. Like
on its own.
It's on its own. It's like it's not brigaded even.
Well, it gives you maximum charge distance, doesn't it? Because you can just touch the guy at the back.
Yeah, but.
And then the guy at the front's further forward.
Anyway,
gets up an extra 8 centimeters.
The battle report continues, and who picks up the win? Actually, Alessio picks up the win. You know, well, with Rick losing, which is very English to lose at the game you invented. Really, I said, both armies were poorly chosen.
Poor lists.
And then look, it has all these army deals and the prices of Warmaster stuff.
Come on, tell me. This is where I wanted to go back into time.
Okay, so let me have a look. It's a fiver a unit.
Let's go back in time. £86 army deal. Let's have a look at this one here. So, for £86, you can get a hero on a dragon, or dragon rider unit, whatever you want to call it, 2 high elf hero stands. Well, surely they're just giving me a character pack, aren't they? Don't talk about fucking wizard stands. A unit of chariots, unit of reaver knights, 2 silver helm, 5 spearmen, 4 archers, 2 bolt throwers, that's just one unit. A unit of giant eagles. Or for £83, and we'll send you another. Is that a second unit of giant eagles for free?
There you go.
Mm-hmm. We'll send you 2 units of carrion for free.
Yeah.
£99. I mean, that's the kind of money you want to spend on an army. 100 early hundreds. Yeah. You don't want to go mad.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, back in the day, GW was much better on its deals. Like, I sent Barry a picture of one of these deals that it was sending, like a prize. It had basically the reader's yearly prize. Back in this, around this time. And what they were giving away was a box set of everything that was in a box. Like, in the company.
Everything.
In the company's product lists.
Everything.
It's like a prize, and this is like 94, that White Dwarf. And it's like, a value of about $3,000. And it's like,
what in 1994, yeah, $3,000.
Yeah. And it's like, what would you do with that as a prize? Like, literally, you've won everything this company makes, one copy of. Like, how do you even store it? Where does it go? Like,
so how much would you, if you went back and you'd get them for a fiver?
Yeah.
How many would you buy, realistically? Oh, look, there's more time stuff. I've got some of this somewhere.
Yeah.
We're going to have to play this, aren't we, Morden? How many would you buy? You'd buy all, wouldn't you? You'd buy it all, everything. Well, so that was the release.
I would say that's the seminal, like, White Dwarf for Warmaster. So the next month in 2444 was April, and it had three articles. Men of the Empire, Empire is now the army that's come out. The next one,
yeah,
a rundown of the Empire list, making a scene.
They're going to win any battle report. I'm banking on it now, or that any battle report ever have got to win, because that was the way it worked back then.
Making a scene with scenery and painting Warmaster armies. Article about painting. So the Men of the Empire is the very same style as the other two were done. Is in like the way the graphics were done. Are like, this is what all the Empire units are, and so tidbits on the rules for them, just yep. Like, is in like, oh, they get +1 on the charge, that kind of thing, you know. Then the making a scene 28 was how to do a battlefield in Warmaster, a basic battlefield. There you go, like, empty table, battle mat, a dozen small stones dug out of the garden, four polystyrene,
a dozen small stones,
a handful of modeling sand, two bags of lichen, that will do a battlefield. There you go. Almost a basic battlefield. So it's
how many pieces of terrain?
1, 2, 3, 6 pieces of scenery.
Are those loads of woods?
No, seven.
There's two woods that look like a wood.
Two hills and four woods.
Yeah, those woods you can't even go in, are they? They're just.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
They're not really area terrain,
it's
are they?
It's super easy and cheap. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there you go. Does that mean there's a huge open green space, you know, like to fight your battle in? That's all right. Yeah. and how to make a hill, yeah, like, lovely.
Amber. Sorry, my dog's playing it.
Yeah, so six, and there it shows the modular terrain. So again, it shows you the only battle, the only, 6x4 they actually made for the game, I think. Yeah, which is there.
That looks very much like the one that they then made it up making in plastic in the 2000s, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, with some quite basic, like, towns and hills, you know, stuff like that. Though I do like this style of, like, of the hedges. That's quite nice.
But there's a lot of impassable terrain, isn't there, on all these tables? They don't really use area terrain.
No.
It all tends to be just... even the woods look like impassable terrain.
They do, yeah. And then painting advice for Warmaster on page 76. I've just flipped to that. Very simple article about, you know, how to speed paint, how to quickly paint Warmaster articles. Warmaster models, we're saying that there's a lot of models you don't see in Warmaster, so you don't need to paint them. You don't need to paint well the second rank of a unit because you won't see it.
Yes, first point.
And also it mentions about how difficult they are to base if they're glued all down. So like, you know, like...
Very difficult.
Very difficult to base in between the stuff if you've glued everything down. And there you go. But also it basically points out that extreme highlighting is better on Warmaster models. Compared to 28mm models, brighter colours look good on small stuff because they stand out.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at it generally from 4 feet away,
yeah,
and it's 10mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How much are you really going to see? Yeah. So did the Empire win, Paul?
No, there wasn't a battle report.
What?
No, there wasn't a battle report.
God damn it.
Yeah, so...
I like this technique here. Is this what you dry brush detail?
Well, yeah, in his case, it's like he's, you know, base coated dry brushes and then details, and that's it. Yeah, which is a good step. But this is still relevant. You know, like how to effectively paint Warmaster at quicker. Again, and they say, like, they address straight up is like people think Warmaster stuff would be harder to paint. It's not. It's easier.
I mean, he's painting both ranks at once, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
So he just spread, and he's literally saying, "I'm only going to paint what I can see."
Paint what you can see. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it moves on. 254 May had three articles in it of Warmaster. This time, dwarves were the army that was then put out. So they obviously had them all keyed up to go, and we get the standard. What are the dwarves look like? You know, like a, you know, an article here. as in pictures of all the units and just little tips on what the rules are. You know, the teasers, you would say rule teasers, I guess. Then the Battle of Deathgate. Rick Priestley presents a scenario based on the epic Battle of Deathgate, page 74. And in this one, you get the first White Dwarf scenario for the game, which is in addition to the art for the scenarios that were in the main rule book.
Okay.
This one is Empire as attackers versus undead defenders, as suggested armies, but obviously it doesn't have to be, as in all the scenarios, that's just, it can be represented by any forces, but that's what the scenario was originally written for. That's quite cool. I'll have, a read through that at some point. Essentially, it has Empire going long ways down the table to attack a defended position of undead. That's what they're trying to do. And some scenery from and how to build for that. Lovely. I mean, again, this here looks lovely. How they've put some effort into creating the scenery for that pictures. And that's it. That's all that was in this White Dwarf.
Okay.
So already, even 3-4 months late, like after the initial release, that it's slowly, there isn't a lot of material given over in White Dwarf to Warmaster, sadly. But of course, it's not their main game. They've got to promote 40k and Warhammer every time. 246, lovely looking article. A Dune has some bits in here. It has a Warmaster battle report in it of Empire and Dwarf alliance against Chaos, led by an actual 28mm scale Greater Demon of Nurgle, which was. Because they obviously hadn't made one yet.
Yeah.
Then it also has Army of Darkness, Chaos from Now the Army, and a feature about them. A Battle of Gaping War, a new World Master scenario, and the building the woods, the Chaos Woods that are suitable for that scenario. So let's just go through them. Is page 24 to begin with. So again, as in the style, the same style that how it's they've featured all the armies of showing pictures of them and just tidbits on the rules, nicely done. 4 pages of that this time for Chaos. Though I don't see any Chaos chariots here; they're never mentioned. They came later.
Really?
Then the scenario, the Chaos scenario that is featured in Gaping War, which has. A Chaos deployment versus Chaos versus Empire, though they played it as Empire and Dwarf Alliance, and how to build chaosified woods, basically.
Chaosified.
Which, to be honest, were a bit out of scale, but like it's a load of dead trees with like grim stuff stuck on the bases. But they
do look fucking gigantic.
Yeah, they were too big. They're not 10mm scale, are they?
I guess they're just recycling 28mm stuff.
Yeah, and. That's what was, and then 117 is the battle report for the White Dwarf was the scenario which they just talked about. So it had Chaos, a 2,000-point Chaos army versus a 1,000-point a Dwarf and a 1,000-point Empire list.
Cool.
So three players. Alessio took the Empire, a guy called Jim Butler took the Dwarves, and a guy called Rich Baker played the Chaos. They did a unique rules for a greater demon here. So the general of the Chaos Army was represented by a 40, a Chaos demon, and they did it at 225 points. A general, a command 9 hero gives you +6 attacks.
Wow.
Yeah. So they just did those rules.
The Dragon Rider, I guess.
Well, yeah, but they just did those rules for that battle report.
Okay.
Which, fair enough. Which making it narrative.
He's fucking big enough, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's ridiculously sized compared to the. I mean, so what we have here is an original Greater Demon of Nurgle, but they weren't the size that they are nowadays.
He's on like a 40 by 40 base.
Yeah, 40 by 40 base. 40,
yeah.
He's like.
And he fills the base.
Yeah, he fills the base. He's massive compared to the chaos around him. But never mind. Also, he causes terror because he's absolutely huge. Which is, and that's how they did it. The last one to talk about is 247, Green Death, July, which had Chaos, Orcs come out.
Orcsies.
Feature an article about who the Orcs are, How to Paint Orcs by Rick Priestley. The Future of War Master, that's quite interesting, which we'll talk about, what I want to talk about in detail.
Right.
And War Master Train. I also showed what Forge World was doing for War Master as a series, which is just a showcase, an advertisement. So, what Chaos, what Orcs and Goblins were, in the same style they've done all the other armies. So at least they were consistent, you know, like with army featurettes. And that would have done one, two, three, four, five, six, these original six armies then, were then now out, are in the first 6 months of the game. How to Paint Them was just a simple article about Rick Priestley with some good tidbits, you know, but again, saying how if you build them all, it's hard to base them.
Yeah.
Like to base as you go along. But the one I want to talk about for this one, the pick, is The Future of War Master. Now all the rulebook armies are available, you're probably thinking, well, what's next? Well, Rick Priestley takes a peek into the future and also looks at some of the models you can expect to see over the coming months.
Cool.
So, highlights of this is it shows pictures of siege equipment. So, releasing in the future. So it had Chaos Empire and Siege Towers. So, how to play the game is a siege game. You know, because there was Warhammer Siege, was a version of Warhammer at that time.
Yeah.
I
think they're quite rare, those siege.
They are pretty rare. Yeah. You know, and as well as the game, this is only 3 pages, sadly. But also, it shows pictures of concept models for Bretonians, which were somebody's own sculpts of Bretonians, like by Dave Andrews. They weren't the production models. Baggage trains, you know, and mentions also Kislevs as an army they're going to be doing in the future. And there we go. So, aside from new models and new armies, we've been busy with plans for expanding War Master by means of the GW website, so promoting it better. Probably an intensely dedicated magazine, which we're probably called War Master Magazine. Yeah, so it mentions it then. Anymore, asked me about tournaments, so because they didn't have tournaments at that point. Like, so like, see something organised, the demand to justify it. So at that point, it was like, present the demand and GW would do a tournament for this game system. I know that only a tiny proportion of players actually participate in tournaments, but nevertheless, I believe, this is Rick Priestley, that they are important to the life of any game. Because they get it promoted. Just as we have Warhammer and Warhammer 40,000 national and international tournaments, it would be great to include War Master in the tournament circuit.
Cool.
There we go. And that's the main topic, like, of what I wanted to talk through. So, of how War Master was featured over its first 6 months of life.
Six months in the year of 2000. After the planes fell out of the sky.
Yep. I think a lot of it is just game promotion. It's like, who is this army? What do they look like? What have we done for them? Because and the models were literally miniature versions of the current Warhammer style that was out there. And obviously I'm biased, but I do think War Master models have stood up well in time, I think.
I think they were really well done.
Like what I've noticed by looking through, like flicking through these White Dwarves for the other, just in general, is how a lot of the models of the time haven't aged well, is in terms of 28mm scale ones. Like, what GW can do nowadays with 28mm scale is far better than they could do, 20 years ago when War Master was out. And obviously they never attempted to do War Master again, so I wonder what they could do if they tried to do it again. Adeptus Titanicus gives you an inkling to how detailed they could be, because of how detailed some of the Adeptus Titanicus stuff really is, but I guess that's we can only wonder. I do think if you were just trying to pick these articles out, I think the ones that Priestley writes about himself, I mean, you don't need to hold on to examples of what the Empire looks like, but the painting guides are relevant. Certainly, the game design ones, game concept ones, are all relevant over what War Master. Certainly, the original article, White Dwarf article, of something completely different about what War Master is great. And and the future of War Master is also interesting to see, because it all came true. Like, everything they mentioned in the future article did become a reality.
Yeah.
Everything. It wasn't like, oh, that never made it to production because the game died before it could be made. It's like everything there got made. And the scenarios look quite interesting as well, because they, how to take a game and like how to play 6x4 a bit differently. So that's that. So yeah, if we want to, at some point I could do. Do you fancy we do another podcast at some point about the other Warmaster articles? The ones. So basically, then over the space of a number of years, then they had intermittent articles, spaced out in some White Dwarfs.
Okay, yeah, but it's probably worth just looking if they're available online rather than buying them. But I know you like to have them.
No, but I'd want, because what I'm going to do is I'll take the pages out of those White Dwarves and make a little booklet for myself. That was one way. They're not expensive.
Just had a tenner for all six.
And also I'd like to talk about another podcast about all the articles that made it in, and here they all are, that made it onto Fanatic Online.
Okay.
Which is tons of them. Okay. And I'll give you the Battle of the Five Army ones.
Okay. Fantastic. Okay.
Hey man, you seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man, I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber jabber, fool. And get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
Right, so this is probably realistically the last podcast before the Kickstarter finishes, because I'm pretty sure we might not get one next week, and then the week after it finishes on the Monday. So there's only about 13, 12 days left, something like that. So just to wrap up where we're at, I think there's 2/3 roughly of the backers.
I'm just literally about to look on right now.
I think it's about right. Like maybe 62, something like that. And
currently you have £6,065 pledged, 65 backers.
65. Well, two of them are just like karma boosts. So 63 backers, 37 left. So everything's been spoiled that's going to be spoiled apart from the character pack.
Yep.
But another thing is I've got all the art now for the entire range.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't paid Christian for the last few bits, but I've got things like the cavalry and the big beasts, and so everything's done now. Everything. So it will just be a case of when the sculptor's available again, maybe 2020, to finish off the rest of the range.
Yeah.
And the character pack's going to be spoiled over the next 12 days, just to keep it interesting. Because I could just spoil everything, but then there's no reason for people to come back. There's no reason for me to share anything, and this lull period's really weird, because you feel like you have to say something even though you don't really have a great deal to say now. But you've got to keep the process moving. So I've shared a couple of them. There's a demon lord and there's a sorcerer on a little moundy stuff. There's at least, I don't know, there's 4 or 6 more to come. It'd be nice. Character pack would be nice.
Yeah.
Character pack is a real fucking money pit, I've got to be honest. I mean, I know it's even more of a money pit because I'm giving them away. People never buy more than one unit of characters. Exactly. Why would you buy more than one unit of characters? And most of the GW character packs have, maybe 8.
Well, it was interesting because when it says in those White Dwarves there, when we talked about, is when it talks about character packs, it says that they will make a hero, a wizard, a general.
Was that all they said?
That's all they said they would do. As in, that character pack will make at least those three characters.
Is that why there's only one Empire Wizard kicking around?
Yes.
And you have to use Gandalf or something?
And that was obviously their concept of, like, a character pack will make 3 characters. At least.
Plus a load of other shit.
Yeah.
So, there's, like, there's a bound demon I'm going to do, and, like, a familiar, and all kind of little biddly bobs.
Yep.
So, yeah, it'd be nice. But obviously that kind of restricts what other stretch goals I can do, because any available funds are going into making extra bits of the character pack, which is free. So that'll probably be the last time we talk about it. Maybe
I mean,
one more wrap up about
you've
how
happy
we finished.
How it's successful?
No, I'm never happy as an author. Of course, yeah, you've got to be happy.
Yeah,
it's always weird putting yourself out there because it's.
Yeah, I mean, because it's funded. It funded straight away, and it's funded every stretch goal that you want. You could get it to go to.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to sell people.
So, speaking about that, this is the demon army that you can build from Barry's Kickstarter.
Gary, or Barry, or Larry.
Yeah. So, and this is what I am. This is what I've pledged.
Well, I already told you my list.
Yeah, well, this is what I've pledged, and this is what I am going to build.
Right.
So, 9 demon hordes, 3 demons.
That's a lot of one thing for you, isn't it?
It is. But, you didn't do enough range.
I have that many anyway.
2 demon hounds, 4 demon chariots, 2 flyers, And then the Overlord, with a Sword of Fate, I'll give that to him. Two heroes and two sorcerers. That will make you a Breakpoint 10 Demon Army from this Kickstarter.
How many flyers? Two?
Two. Yeah. The way I'll put it down the table is I will do three units of Demon Hordes with a swarm in front of them.
Yep.
Repeat that three times.
Yep.
Hounds working together, and then I'll break the chariots up, so I'll have two chariots somewhere, two chariots somewhere else, and the two flyers acting individually. And that's how the army will set down, and okay. I've got five characters to order that lot around. To be honest, if I had it isn't the demon army I will settle with, because I want to, you know, I have to have something of everything.
Well, you'll never fit something of everything in.
No.
Because some of the choices are expensive.
Yeah, exactly. But, that is, this could be the army set.
You could upgrade a demon to have flying and,
terrorism. Well, what I'm saying, Barry, in terms of your Kickstarter, you could do an army deal, which is that, which is a little
cheaper. There's no army deals.
No, I'm saying, but that's what it could be, is that it could be that, but that's a little cheaper.
Get rid of a hero and make the other hero a fighty hero causing terror.
Yeah.
Fly.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because five's too many for me.
Yeah, probably.
Even four feels like too many. Four's what I'm going to have.
That's what you can do.
Okay, cool. So, right, we will talk about events. Have we got anything left to do? We've got Tribus in less than 2 weeks.
We do, yeah.
Or 2 weeks.
So, you're definitely going?
Yeah. Oh. Apart from the family.
Yeah.
Family
shit
happens.
Yeah.
Although I think I might have kids away.
There you go.
Is this the day after Brexit?
Yes.
Oh, right. No, she's back.
Yeah.
She comes back the night before.
The Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got to go out and celebrate
whatever the new world is.
Which is the same as the old world.
Same as the old world. Remarkably similar.
Nothing has changed.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed. So, I haven't decided on my pairing yet.
You're going to be Empire Dwarves, you know.
I don't know, it's a bit too stock, isn't it?
You know
it's
what
too
you're
going to
do.
I fucking hate defensive armies, I hate them.
You know what you're gonna do.
I hate them. They make me feel sick, sitting there just on my hill, shooting shit.
Yep.
If I do play a defensive build, I'll be pissed off all day. Just sit there pissed off all day.
Annoying yourself for doing it.
Exactly. I like to be involved and proactive and stuff. Get in there. I don't know. I have got another couple of spicy brews I'm looking at.
Oh, okay. I'm definitely weighed in to do orcs and goblins and goblins. Unless I fail to get the goblins painted, I'll do something else quickly. I'll have a combo quickly.
Yeah, the world's cheapest character packs. Because that's the biggest problem, is trying to find room for all the characters.
I'll talk through my lists at another point.
It'll have to be next time, because there isn't enough.
Oh, okay, then
No, not today, because we've already done enough. But next time, that's what it'll have to be.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be the next feature of next podcast. And, so I like the, but the army looks, the army together looks really cool.
Well, it should do. It's the same fucking army, apart from a couple of little bits, isn't it? It's like orcs and goblins.
Yeah.
Who would have thought they'd always just like, I'm going to take two kings. And undead?
Yeah.
And vampires? Oh, okay. They look very good together,
really?
Don't they?
All right.
There's the odd fucking ghoul.
Okay.
But everything else is in black.
Okay.
That's not a bad build, actually.
Yeah.
Undead and vampires.
So that's the next tournament. And then, there's plugged in. And the one after this is the new one, isn't it? I'll just have to click on events here.
The new one?
Yeah, War Master.
Worcester. Worcester.
Worcester.
Worcester.
Worcester.
Worcester. Right, War Master. So we're going to call it day, because we're already into one hour and 10 plus. So that's long enough. People don't need to fucking waste their life listening to this shit.
Exactly. I mean, and interesting topic to talk about.
This magazine's good.
Yeah.
People like this.
People like that.
Where did you get this one?
Oh, that was just something I found. Yeah, like catalogue. 2002 catalogue. There was a catalogue.
War Master catalogue.
Yeah.
£2 they charged for this.
Yeah.
£2.
£2.
£2 for a little fucking catalogue of little pictures of little stuff.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting going back and looking at White Dwarves from 20 years ago and just looking at how the company is.
Yeah, look at, they used to sell carts, didn't they? Undead carts. I don't know what the undead are carting around.
I don't know. Like, why are they even bothering, really?
I don't know.
Like,
provisions?
What resource do they need? Yeah.
Orcs have got obviously pulled by a boar. very disciplined. Empire. They're nice, those cards. And then we go, oh, look, Fenbeast. I haven't seen him kicking around. Have you seen him?
Yeah, Shadows over Albion. Yeah.
Cool. Right, well, so that was podcast 113. Mm-hmm. Looking at Warmaster in the old White Dwarfs.
Yeah.
Another, not the best topic for radio, I guess. Talking about pictures and books, but thank you, Paul, for spending the time researching it and digging them out and finding them.
It's okay. I mean, apologies if it wasn't a fantastic podcast, I suppose. But
no, it wasn't. I wasn't saying that. I was just saying that it's difficult when you talk about pictures.
Of course.
It is. Mm-hmm. But hopefully we gave you a flavour of what was going on in the world.
Yeah.
And we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Paul will have named his kid Rodney or something.
No.
Del Boy.
It's fine. I think Arthur's sticking, isn't it? But it's nothing's official until it's the birth certificate.
Nothing's official until it's official. Nothing's agreed till everything's agreed.
Yeah.
There you go. Another Brexit joke. See you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks.
If we're still here.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll just push us off into the sea.
Yeah.
We'll be like floating aimlessly around the Atlantic Ocean.
If we record on the Thursday in 2 weeks' time, I can also talk about my practice game for the tournament.
That'll be Brexit Day. That'll be the day before Brexit, won't it?
Yeah, the day before Brexit.
Oh my god! I don't think we can turn the pressure up anymore.
Yeah.
There'll be riots in the streets. All right then, no more Brexit. Bye.
Would you like to know more?